Now, the Buddha, as we all know, was the founder of Buddhism. So it's only natural that people should be interested, even very interested, in the story of his life. And various Western scholars in modern times have tried to write a proper, full, detailed biography of the Buddha. There's quite a lot of traditional material available. There are quite a number of ancient biographies written in ancient India. There is, for instance, the Mahavastu, which means the great relation. This is primarily, or essentially, a biography of the Buddha, even though it does also contain a very great deal of other matter, especially Jatakas and Avadanas. It's a very bulky work. It's in three volumes in the English translation, altogether about 1,500 pages. But it does contain some very ancient and very interesting information and material indeed. Then one has another work, the Lalita Vistara, and yet another, the Abhinishkramana Sutra. Both of these are Mahayana sutras, and the first of them, that is to say the Lalita Vistara, is a very highly poetic work indeed. Its devotional and literary appeal and value is very great indeed. And you may be interested to know that the Light of Asia, Sir Edwin Arnold's famous poem, is based primarily upon the Lalita Vistara. Then we have in Pali, the previous works all in Sanskrit, we have in Pali the Nidana Katha, which is Buddha Ghosha's introduction to the commentary, or his own commentary rather, on the Jataka stories. And then again we have Ashvaghosha's Buddha Charita, which means the Acts of the Buddha, which is a very beautiful epic poem in classical Sanskrit. So we see from these brief citations that there's no shortage of material. If you want to write a life of the Buddha, there's plenty of material, plenty of sources available. So Western scholars have explored, have examined all these sources pretty thoroughly indeed. But what do we find is their method of procedure? We usually find that they go through all these texts or translations of these texts. They sort them all out. They study them. They go through the various episodes, the various incidents. And we find that they divide them all into two great groups, or two heaps, as it were, all of them. On the one hand, on the one side, they put whatever they consider to be a matter of historic fact, that the Buddha was born in a certain family, that he spoke a certain language, that he left home at a certain age, what they consider the historic facts. And on the other hand, they put what they consider all the myths and all the legends. So they make this sort of division. Now, this is all right. It's all right so far as it goes. But they go a step further. They don't just make this division. They start, as it were, evaluating, start indulging in value judgments. And they say, most of them, that only the historic facts of what they consider the historic facts are valuable and useful and relevant. And the myths and the legends, all the poetry of the account, they usually say, are just mere fiction, which means just untrue, just false, and therefore to be discarded as completely worthless. This is the usual procedure of most scholars, Western scholars, who write or attempt to write the biography of the Buddha. But this, in my view, is a very great mistake indeed. We may say that there are two kinds of truth. There's first of all what we call scientific truth, the truth of concepts, the truth of reasoning. But in addition to this, and some would say even above this, there is what we may call poetic truth, or truth of the imagination. And this is the truth of images, truth of the intuition. And both are at least equally important. And the second, the latter kind of truth, the truth of the image, truth of poetry, truth of the imagination, the intuition. This is manifested or revealed in what we call myths and legends, as well as in works of art, in symbolic ritual, and also, quite importantly, in dreams. So what we call the archetypal symbolism of the biography of the Buddha belongs to this second category. It isn't meant to be historic truth. It's meant to be poetic. It's meant to be, as it were, imaginative, even spiritual truth, not scientific, factual information. We may say that this sort of biography of the Buddha, or partial biography of the Buddha in terms of archetypal symbolism, is not concerned with the external events of his career, but is meant to tell us, or at least suggest to us, something about his inner spiritual experiences. And therefore it sheds much light on the spiritual life itself for all of us. Now, this sort of feature, that is to say, this archetypal symbolism, we often find in Buddhist biographies, not just in the life of the Buddha himself. We find it in the life of, say, Nagarjuna. We find it in the life of Padmasambhava. We find it in the life of Milarepa. In all of these so-called biographies, there are many incidents which are not based, are not supposed to be based on historic fact, but which have an archetypal symbolic significance, which points to inner experiences and inner realizations. Sometimes, of course, it's very difficult to distinguish the two categories. Sometimes it's very difficult to make up your mind whether something belongs to the historical order or whether it corresponds to the symbolic or the intuitive or the imaginative order. And very often we find that the Buddhist tradition itself does not clearly distinguish between these two categories. It usually seems to take the myths and the legends just as literally as the historic facts. It's as though in early times man didn't possess almost the capacity, or perhaps even the willingness, to distinguish in this way. Everything was truth, everything was fact of its own kind in its own order. Now, there's no harm, we may say, in sorting out these two categories. No harm in trying to make up our minds what constitutes the factual, historic content of the Buddha biography and what represents its archetypal and symbolic content. But we should be careful not to undervalue or underrate the mythical and the legendary elements. Now, I propose to give this evening a few examples of archetypal symbolism from the biography of the Buddha, drawing on some of the texts which I've mentioned. I'm not going to do this in chronological order, because with the exception of one particular sequence, the chronological order doesn't seem to be of any importance.